God, we look forward to what you have for us today. Lord, we know that we can trust you because you have such a great love for us. kids, you can go to your class now.
Thank you.
washed away in the waves of your mercy as deep cries to deep and we sing, come Lord Jesus, come. Only you can
I just want to say from everybody that we're so happy, the fear go away of us in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. No more fear. No more sickness. No disease. Nothing can affect. No, everyone shall be saved. Be saved in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We ask you right now what you need for us, that we make you happy like you make us happy, Jesus. We ask you that thing. What you need for us, come show us. Tell us that we make you happy. And we thank you. We ask you right now the kidney work be forever with you power, with you blood, with holy blood. Touch the kidney that we never, never stop working in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you with all our heart, with all our soul. We never forget that things. You bring them. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Come to lay
change.
again to me, I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you.
If you wonder what we're doing up here, when Jesus was on the cross, he could look at you and say, you are why I'm doing this. You see, each person is worth the time. We're not in a hurry. If somebody wants to go somewhere, there's other churches you can go to, and maybe they need to keep the program rolling. But we'll stop the program for one person if that's what God says. In a time of ministry, that's what this is about. It's not just about going through and saying a bunch of words, playing some music. We all felt good. Let's go home. It's about God working in your life.
This is Maria. And she has found out just now that she has cancer. And we're just asking you all to keep her up in prayer as God brings her healing. Thank you, Jesus.
Website, it says Burning Bush, a relationship church. But I've also told you this is a waiting church. We're going to wait on God. We're not in a hurry. It's like what God's doing, we want to get in on. We're waiting on God. God's worth waiting for. Every single one of us in this room, God has waited on us. One time God said to me, I said, when I realized at one point that I had been resisting God, fighting God. And I said, God, I'm sorry. You know what he said? He said, you've put all these things in front of me. That's what I was telling him. God, I put all these things in front of you where I made you wait. You know what he said? He said, you don't like to wait in line. He said, but you are worth waiting for. God says, I will wait in line because you are worth waiting for. Now here we are making Almighty God wait. But he doesn't get upset about it. He just says, he gets grieved. It hurts him that we put other things above him, in front of him. Things that we spend our time and our energy on. Things that don't profit. Things that hurt us. But God loves you so much that he'll wait in line for you while you put other things in front until you bring him to the front of the line. See, we serve the real God. He's the faithful God. He's the loving God. He's the kind God. He's the patient God. He is the God. His name is Jesus Christ. He loves you. Unfortunately, I can't say words that adequately express who he is. But we hope by giving him time that you get a picture that God wants to work in your life. God cares about you. He's not in a hurry. It's not like, hurry up, let's do the program. One time, I think it was our last church that we started, he said, I didn't want to start another church. I said, Lord, send me to any country but America. I'm tired of America. I'm tired of the shallowness of America. I'm tired of the games. I'm tired of the, they don't have time. They want to fit God into and do a little 20-minute segment and have 3 points and a poem and let's leave. And it's like, I need more of God than that. And we were going to go to another church in town that day, and God interrupted and started a church there that morning with us. And he said to me, can you imagine what church would be like if I was really in charge? And I said, no, Lord, I can't. I said, I've gone to many services where you show up and then somebody always interrupts it, says, okay, they look at their watch and say, okay, that's enough of God now. Let's get back to our bulletin. Let's get back to our program. I said, I can't imagine what church would be like if you were in charge. And he said, would you let me do it? And I said, I don't know how to do it, God. I said, but if you'll be patient and you'll teach me how, we want to let you do whatever you want to do. How about this? Do you want to let God do whatever he wants to do in your life? I'm glad for all five of you. Raise your hand. Oh. Do you want to give God what he wants? Good. You're doing better now. Some of you raised two hands and one leg. I saw of you back there, Reuben. That's good, Reuben. I'm so glad. You see, folks, we've started all these churches, preached all over America, but you know what? I don't know how to do church. I only know how to do what I've been taught, and we're trying to let him do what he wants to do here. But what's going to happen is when each one of us opens our heart and say, God, I want you, your way, your terms, not I want you on my terms. We need to quit asking God to come bless what we're doing and find out what he's doing. God, what are you doing? I want to get in on that. I'm tired of my way. Are you tired of your way? I'm tired of my way. I am tired of my way. You can raise your hand. It won't hurt a bit. So when God starts moving, we don't get in a hurry. I remember a guy came, I told you, a guy came to our service one time, and he said, what kind of church is this? And I said, a waiting church. He said, I don't like waiting. I said, then you won't like it here. He made it about three services, and he quit coming. And that's okay, because he's looking for something else. That's fine. I just want God, whatever that means. It doesn't have to fit into my little package. I want to fit into his. I want to fit into his heart. How about you? You like being loved, accepted, believed in, healed, joy, peace? Anybody like that? Then you like Jesus. So we got to learn how to get into him. Get into, fit into his heart. How do we do that, Lord? What do you want to do, God? What do you want to do, Jesus? Let's just pretend this is all about you, Jesus. What would you like to do? All our focus is on you. Our hearts are yielded to you. We need you. We want you. Please draw us. Please show us what's next, Lord.
The
The Lord is here today. He says he came as a matter of life and death. There are people in this room that need things from the Lord to move forward. He says, I've brought a host of heavenly angels with me that have packages, that have gifts. But he needs us to respond and invite him to give you what you need. He says, I've heard the prayers of your leaders here. People that have been on their faces praying for you. You need to stand and receive with your mouth, Lord, I want what you have. And the Lord is saying, come up front today. Come up front today. There are angels all around with packages. He's longing to give out gifts. It's a matter of life and death this morning. Do not be proud. I resist the proud. I will not come to you when you're proud. Confess with your mouth this morning, I receive Jesus.
Lord is saying, this is what I want from you. To cry out. To make the choice to choose Him. Because He's chosen you. He's just waiting. He's waiting on a flower to blossom. He's waiting for you to open up with your arms wide open and to receive Him. He is seeking you. And He also says He wants you not to do this just today. You heard that. What if we started our day like this? What if we finished our day like this? What a difference He can make. What a difference He can make. He is the way. He is the only way. So cry out to Him. Talk to Him. Because He is your best friend. He wants to give you what you need. But you have to ask. You have to come to Him and humble yourselves and seek His face. And pray without ceasing. That's all He asks. He wants a relationship with us. And this is where it begins, at the foot of the cross. Or the foot of our bed. Or on the floor at home. Or riding down the road in the car. Or just sitting. He wants to be with us every second of our lives. But He also wants us to put Him first. So Lord, I ask right now that You have Your way with each and every one that's up front, that's calling out to You, Lord. Because You never, never turn down an invitation. So invite Him into your life this morning. And make it a lifetime decision. Choose Him. Because He's chosen you.
Sometimes we make it harder to walk with God than it needs to be. All the commandments are rolled up in loving the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Another verse says, what hath God required of thee, O man, but that you do right, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? He just wants our love, and He wants us to love one another. Do what's right. Forgive one another. Love mercy. It's not hard. Go home with your decision and just fall in love with Him.
We got to change something before we can come to God. But we don't. All you have to do is just come. He's here. He's been waiting for you. He's been wanting you. He's been longing for you. He loves you. He wants to embrace you. He wants to give you that big sloppy kiss because he loves you so much. And he is so awesome. His love will change your life. His love will change your life. Do you understand what that means? He will get you through all the hard times. He will pull you out of all this hurt and pain because he's there loving you through it. Choose God. He's here. He loves you.
Testimony.
I have visions, and in my vision I'm always in my grandparents' garden when I was about 6 through 9. And when I was up here, and somebody, Tana and Lee Ida, prayed for me, I started having a vision being back in that garden, going all through the flowers, the white flowers, and I saw myself as a 6-year-old. And I cried out, Jesus, come, because I had a nightmare a few nights ago. And it was all evil. And in my nightmare, I cried out, Jesus! And he just appeared. And I woke up, and I went to work, and I prayed more at work during the day. And he just gave me the vision that I was in the garden, in the white flowers, walking through, and I yelled out, Jesus! And he came. And he opened his arms, and I ran up to him. And when Nate said about a gift, I asked him right there and then, what kind of gift am I getting? I didn't think I was going to get anything. And he opened up this box, and there was this heart, this bright red heart. That's my testimony.
With his gift of love.
Gift of love. He is love. Thank you for being brave. Did anyone else open a gift that they want to share?
My gift that God's given me today is this youth night that's happening. I really needed that. I'm so excited.
You are our gift. Anyone else? Something God showed you through that gift yet? Maybe you don't know what it is yet, and he'll show you, but did anyone else get a gift you want to talk about, share? Lynn?
I never thought I'd say this. God showed me that you're my gift. What a motley crew, huh? And he said, of course, as soon as I said that, he said, you're the motliest of them all. But I am so thankful. I am so blessed to be in the position that I am in here. And what is really cool is that you all are my accountability partners. That you come to me in love. And you said, Glenn, that was more Glenn than it was God. And I need that, and I appreciate that. And I am so thankful and so blessed. I don't want to be anywhere else. And again, I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Like God works in strange ways, some of these gifts come in strange packages. We are strange packages. Anyone else? Gary?
I'll try not to cry. I'd like to leave this with you. 23rd Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff that comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me in all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
That was confirmation. While I was up here accepting my gift, I was thinking about the parking lot lines. Anybody notice them out there? That half of them I got done on the bad side, and half of them aren't. So I was thinking, well, I wonder if people are going to be parking crooked, because we had people pulling up in front of the door, me and Glenn trying to unload stuff and couldn't do it. And I was thinking about my life and how the lines got blurry sometimes, and that God's lines are in the book. And when you was reading that about the rod and thy staff, they comfort me, it wasn't always that way. God, that rod sometimes is to poke you forward, and the staff is to draw you back. But either way, David's saying in there that they comfort him, whether I got to go forward, whether I got to go back. And the lines now are painted on my heart to keep me parked straight. I don't want a country road where there is no lines, you know, and you're both going different directions. That the kind of, you have to get your imaginary line, or you're going to end up, you know, very sorry. And I can drive without the lines now, because he's got them in my heart. So the rest of them lines will be done tomorrow, though. So, yeah.
I was going to preach on that mountain of God, which that is really not a giant ice cream cone. There were different clouds on that mountain, and I put the clouds there, but I wanted to write in them, so they ended up looking like an ice cream cone. I'm not going to preach on it, because I love where we're at with God, and I think that we need to, but I'm going to make you hungry about it. I'm going to tell you the outline of it, so you'll come back, and maybe he'll let me preach it next time. Egypt, when God's people were trapped in Egypt, they were slaves to a wicked king, a wicked ruler, who just used them. Before we meet Jesus, we are trapped by a wicked ruler called Satan. He lies, he uses us, he abuses us, and we don't know how to get free. But when we meet Jesus, it's like the Red Sea, the blood of Jesus. We cross over. We cross over into freedom. Now, when he crossed him over into freedom, he took him through a wilderness, because there's a time in our transition where we don't know how to be any different. We're so used to the sin, we just keep functioning in it. But God is beginning to work in us to bring us out into a better place. Then he brought him in another wilderness. Anybody feel like you've been in the dry land forever? Another wilderness, dwelling in tents, because this is not our home. At the foot of the mountain of God. When God comes, he's like a burning holy fire. He burns away everything that is not holy. And he loves us so much that he doesn't want to come down and just burn us up while we're still holding on to things. Some people were content to stay right here. They knew God was speaking, but they were afraid of him. So God invited them to come up higher, and they didn't want to go because they were afraid of him. They said, Moses, you go, and you just come tell us what he said. Is that good enough for you? I want to hear from God. So God put a rope around the bottom of that mountain. He set a barrier and he said, tell the people don't cross that barrier or they will die, because I'm going to be on my mountain. And he covered the mountain in a cloud, but there were different phases in this cloud. He drew Moses in 70. See, these are people who wanted to hear from God for themselves, so they could cross the rope because they were willing to go this far with God. And they were in, Moses and 70 were at this place. Then Moses and Joshua went to a little higher cloud. Now there was a darkness in this cloud where God does deeper searching for repentance, for healing, doing things in us. And then after a while, Joshua stayed. Moses came up to another level and he stayed in this place 7 days while God worked in him and prepared him. And finally, Moses came up into the very fire, right in the midst of the fire of God for 40 days. That's my goal. That's where I want to go. But if we went there immediately, we would die. So we have all this preparation coming out to come in this time of preparing to come closer. Are you going to just be glad you got saved and live beneath that rope? Or are you going to tell God, come get everything so I can go up and see your presence more? That's what I hope I could preach next time. Do you want to say anything before we close? Father, we just praise you for this wonderful day. We thank you that you didn't come down in full fire today and kill us, but you sure came down in an awesome way to visit us. Lord, we invite you to come deeper. We don't want a rope. We don't want a boundary. God, we invite you to come deeper in us. God, heal those things that are wounded. Open our eyes to your truth and our ears to your word. Stir our hearts to hunger for more, Lord. Lord, when the fire gets hot and when we don't like what you're doing in our life, help us realize you're trying to prepare us for more. We don't ever want to yell, enough. We want to keep crying for more. So bring us closer, God. Thank you for this mighty, wonderful presence that you brought here today. Continue that your Holy Spirit would go home with us and just continue to work inside of us and bring us closer and closer to you. We love you and we praise you, and you are so good and merciful. May we just do what is right. Love your mercy and walk humbly with you this week. Amen.